Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Hunter.
Hey, how you doing,
Apostle? I thank you. I'm doing great, Apostle. I thank you, and I thank God for all the great work that you're doing, reaching people, impacting people's lives, Apostle, all around the world. And I thank God for that.
I thank you for it, my brother.
Well, I'm Apostle Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Come by and worship with us. I love to see your face in the place. Our Sunday services begin at 10:30 a.m., and our Wednesday night Bible studies begin at 7 p.m. I'd love to see your face in the place. Wherever you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 138, and let's read verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2, the scripture says, the psalmist David says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. He's talking to God. And praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Glory be to God. God has magnified his word above all his name. Hallelujah. God is placing great importance on his word. He's showing the power and the importance of his word. He said that he's magnified, placed his word even above all his name. Let's look at Psalm 119. Turn over to Psalm 10. And let's read verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There God is again, magnifying, putting emphasis on his word. He wants us to focus in on his word. His word has been placed by God above his name. His name is forever effective. Oh, glory to God. Malachi, turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, and let's look at verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. God is still the same today. He hasn't changed. So his word is still important. And he has magnified his word above his name. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God hasn't changed his mind about his word. Not at all. Not one bit, not one iota has God changed his. He hasn't changed his mind about his word. His word is of utmost importance. His word is of great importance. Don't you know that the word of God has the power to change your situation? The word of God is powerful. God told the disciples. He said, go ye and preach. He said, go out and preach, and I'm going to follow the preaching of your word with signs and wonders and miracles following. He in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the disciples, the apostles, the Lord working with them as they were preaching and teaching the word of God and confirming the word with signs following. I tell you, as the word comes forth, it's so powerful that change will take place. The word has the power to change your situation, to change things in your life, to change things from bad to good. Hallelujah. To change your body from sick to well. To change your marriage from terrible to great. Hallelujah. To change your life from broke, being broken and suffering scarcity, to living an abundant life and living a healthy and rich life. And so the message God has given me for you today is how to experience the power of God's word. How to experience the power of God's word. You're going to need his word, And if you don't, if you know it or not, you need his word. I need his word. We all need God's word. He's magnified it above all his name. And so we're going to take a look at tonight how to experience the power of God's word. I tell you, his power is not released into our lives just automatically. The power is not just going to fall out the sky, and things are not just going to automatically get good in our life. No, there's something we have to do to experience the power of God's word in our lives. Number one, we've got to receive it. We've got to receive it. There's word in the Bible. There's scripture in the Bible telling us that God desires us to prosper and to be in health, even as our soul prospers. The word says that. The word tells us that, but some people, they don't receive it. They don't receive it. There is scripture in the Bible that tells us that with his stripes we're healed. But there's people today that say that healing is not for today. That was something that was for 2,000 years ago, but they say it's not for today. Well, that's a lie. See, they're not receiving it. A lot of people are laying on their sick bed, and they don't have to be laying on their sick bed if they would just receive the word of God, the word of God on healing. God says that he desires that we prosper and be in health. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to do well in life. He said that he come to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. That's to the overflow. God wants, he delights, and the scripture says he delights in the prosperity of his servants. God wants us rich. He wants us healthy. He wants us wealthy. He wants us enjoying life. In his presence, the scripture says, is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy in his presence. You know, they're not in heaven. They're not in heaven with their heads hanging low. God's not in heaven worrying, biting on his fingernails, saying, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? No, God in heaven, there's great joy in heaven. There's great success in heaven. The streets up there are made of gold. There's joy, fullness of joy in heaven. And God wants it to be on earth as it is in heaven. But the problem is, the reason it's not like that is because so many people are not receiving it. We've got to receive the word of God for it to produce power in our lives. We've got to receive it. Look at 1 Thessalonians. There's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Hallelujah. God's made salvation available for us, but he's not going to beat us over the head with a baseball bat and make us be saved. No, we've got to receive it. The Bible says, for as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. We've got to receive it. We've got to receive the word of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I love the word of God. Don't you just love the word of God?
Amen.
1 Thessalonians, and look at chapter 2, and let's look at verse 13. The scripture says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, underlying that, when you did what? When ye received, you got to receive the word of God, which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men. See, don't receive this word of God as being from Newsom tonight, the word of Newsom. No, you should receive this word tonight that's being spoken to you as the word of God. I almost jumped out of here and started running around the block. You've got to receive this word as the word of God. And when you receive this word as the word of God, you're going to do things different. Yeah. Things are going to happen in your life. The power of God is going to be released in your life. Things are going to begin to turn around for the good in your life, for the better in your life. When you start receiving the word of God as from God and not from men. The scripture says right here, God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh. See, when you receive the word of God that's being spoken to you tonight as the word of God and not as the word of Newsom, it will be effective in your life. Good God Almighty. It will produce power. It will produce change. It will produce success in your life when you receive the word of God as a from as it being from God and not from Newsom, as it being from God and not from man. But you've got to receive it. Say to yourself, I got to receive it. I got to receive it. The word on healing. If you want health in your body, you've got to receive that word on healing. That the word on your finances. If you want your finances to get better, you've got to receive that word that tells you that if you give, it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God have men pour into your bosom. You've got to receive the word on finances if you want your finances healed, if you want your finances to increase, if you want your money to increase. You've got to receive the word of God where it tells you to get pay your tithes. Your tithes is 10 cents off of every dollar. Every time you get an increase, you need to pay 10 cents off of every dollar. And the Bible says in Malachi that you ought to give offerings. And you surely ought to give gifts to your pastor, the one that feeds you. Don't muzzle the ox that threshes out the wheat, the grain, the Bible says. You need to support your pastor financially. So you need to pay your tithes. That's 10 cents off of every dollar. You need to give offerings. And you need to support your pastor financially. And when you receive this word from God, when you receive that word and begin to do it, power will be released in your life. God will cause increase to come into your finances in your life. Whatever it may be, the word on healing that's in the Bible, the word on increasing your finances in the Bible, the word on receiving joy in the Bible and walking in joy and happiness, the word on how to live in your marriage, in your family life, whatever situation that needs to be covered and taken care of in your life is in the word. You just got to receive it. We just have to begin to receive the word of God as coming from him and as being truth. And we'll see change take place in our life. Oh, glory to God. Number two, we're talking about how to experience the power of God's word. Number one, we've learned that we got to what? We've got to receive it. See, let me tell you something. People, God offers salvation to everyone. But don't you know if they don't receive Jesus as Lord, they'll bust hell wide open. If they die in that state, in hell they'll lift up their eyes. If they don't receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. The scripture clearly tells us, to many as have received him, to them he's gave power to become the sons of God. We got to receive him, and he is the word. The word is Jesus are one. He is the word. We've got to receive it. You want help in your life? Receive the word. Receive it. Number two, we got to handle it properly. Say what? We got to handle the word of God. We've got to handle it properly. We got to teach it correct. Because people are expected to do this word, and we want to teach it right. I just don't get on the radio and just start running off at the mouth. I study before I get on the radio. I study what I'm going to teach. I study it because I know that if I handle it wrong, it can even kill me. It can hurt other people. Handling the wrong word of God incorrectly can hurt other people. You think I'm lying? If you look back just a few years to David Koresh, he handled the word of God wrong, and a lot of people died behind him handling the word of God incorrectly. If you go a few more years, there was a guy named Jim Jones. He handled the word of God incorrectly, and there were a lot of people drunk pausing and killed themselves. because he handled the word of God incorrectly. The scripture tells us, not many ought to want to teach, because if they teach it wrong, they shall be beaten with the many stripes. Glory to God. Oh, it's not anything to play around with. We got to handle the word of God properly. I'm talking about how to experience the power of God's word. I got to handle it properly. That's why the scripture tells us over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to rightly, hallelujah, we've got to rightly divide the word of truth. That's why we need to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that means that if there's a right way to divide it, there's a wrong way that people are dividing it. We've got to handle the word of God properly. Let me show you something in the Bible. Turn over to Exodus. Exodus to 25. Oh, glory to God. Exodus chapter 25. And let's read verses 10 through 16. Now these scriptures are talking about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant carried the presence of Almighty God. Now we know God is everywhere. He's everywhere. But he also was in that Ark of the Covenant, his presence. And in these scriptures right here, we're going to see how the Ark of the Covenant was made. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. Look at verse 11. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in 4 corners thereof. And 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. And thou shalt make staffs, 2 poles of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves, the poles, into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried with them. So the Ark of the Covenant, in the Ark of the Covenant, was a gold jar of manna. Aaron's budded staff was in the Ark of the Covenant, and also the Ten Commandments, which is the Word of God. The Word of God was in the Ark of the Covenant, along with the gold jar of manna and Aaron's budded staff. Now, God has told them, he's instructed the people, he's instructed them, when you carry the Ark of the Covenant, I want you to carry it by the poles. Hallelujah. He's telling them how to handle the Word of God. Why am I saying he's telling them how to handle the Word of God? Because in the Ark of the Covenant, Apostle, was a golden jar of manna, Aaron's budded staff, and the Ten Commandments, which is what? The Word of God. So God was telling them how to handle the Word of God. I want you to carry the Word of God that's in the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to carry it by the poles. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony, which is the Word of God. I shall give thee the Word of God. Now, look what happened. They've been told how to carry it now, but turn over to 2 Samuel. They were told how to carry the Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? A gold jar of manna, Aaron's budded staff, and the Ten Commandments. The Word of God was off in the Ark of the Covenant. The Word of God. God told them how to carry the Word of God, which was in the Ark of the Covenant. I'm showing you that we have to handle what? The Word of God. How? Properly. Oh, glory to God. We got to handle it properly. If you don't handle it properly, it can hurt you. It can hurt others. It can kill you. The word of God can kill you if not handled properly. Oh, glory to God. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. You'll see it clearly in the word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and let's read verse 6 and 7. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor with the Ark of the Covenant, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it. Now, because the oxen shook it, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah, he grabbed the Ark of the Covenant with his hand. Well, we already have been instructed. They were already instructed, Apostle Hunter, that they were supposed to handle the Ark of the Covenant how? By the poles that were on the side.
Well, you wanted
to put your hands on the Ark of the Covenant, you were to put your hands on the pole. Uzzah didn't handle the Ark of the Covenant correctly, which carried what? The Word of God. He didn't handle the Word of God properly. And look what happened in verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. The anger. God got angry against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. See, he handled the Word of God how? In error. He handled the Ark of the Covenant, which carried the Word of God, incorrectly. And there he died by the Ark of God. Oh, glory be to God. I'm telling you, child of God, I'm telling you, teachers, preachers, pastors, apostles, evangelists, prophets, I'm telling you, you've got to handle the Word of God properly, because if you don't handle it properly, you can hurt yourself and you can hurt others. Oh, glory to God. It will be like a gangrene, a canker, an eating sore. It will eat away. Handling the Word of God will cause your body to be eaten away, like a canker, like a gangrene, a sore that eats your body away. Bad things will happen to you when you handle the Word of God incorrectly. Well, I know you're probably saying, well, Newsom, show me in the Word of God. We're handling it incorrectly, will be like a gangrene or a canker that eats away your body. Well, let me show you. Turn to 2 Timothy. Oh, glory to God. We've got to handle the Word of God properly. 2 Timothy, and look at chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and let's read verses 15 through 18. The scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun, turn away from, profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto you more ungodliness. And their word, look at this now, underline it, and their word will do what? Will eat as doeth a canker. Oh, glory to God. What is this saying right here? What is this saying? Vain babblings, words that are not packing any power, you teaching the word incorrectly will do what? It will eat away at you like what? A canker. A canker is gangrene. It's gangrene. Yeah. It's a sore that eats away your body. Oh, glory to God. It's an eating sore. It's gangrene. That's what a canker is. And so when you handle the Word of God improperly, when you handle the Word of God incorrectly, it will eat away at you. It'll eat away at those who are hearing it like a canker, like gangrene. We've got to handle the Word of God properly. That's why a lot of people are sick. That's why a lot of ministers, so-called ministers, are sick, because they're not handling the Word of God properly. They're saying whatever they feel like they want to say. They're not studying. They're not researching the Hebrew or the Greek. They're not researching the background, the history of the word that they're reading, that they're studying in the Bible. They just open up the Bible and they just start skimming off the top without any research, without any prayer, without any study, and they're just blabbing out anything and causing people to be in error. They're causing the people that's hearing what they're saying to be in error. And it's destroying their lives. It's eating away at their lives like gangrene.
My God.
We've got to handle the word of God properly. And my final point, we've got to consider it faithful.
Yes.
When we consider the word of God, when we consider the word of God as being faithful, apostle, something is going to happen.
Yes.
Signs and wonders are going to take place in your life. Oh, glory to God.
Change Hallelujah.
Is going to take place in your life. It's going to take place in your body. It's going to take place in your finances. It's going to take place in your church. It's going to take place. Change is going to take place in your ministry, in your business, in your life. Something's going to happen, and it's going to be good. Good things are going to take place. The power of God is going to be released in your life. When you what? When you consider his word as being what? Faithful. You're counting his word as being what? The truth. You're saying, God, your word is what? True. And when you do that, something's going to happen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 1. Consider the word as being what? Faithful. Hallelujah. Power will be released into your life when you count the word as being what? Faithful. Luke chapter 1, and let's look at verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's, underline that word virgin, this girl was a virgin. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, Mary. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Now, we know it's God speaking through this angel. It's God speaking through this angel telling Mary what's about to happen in her life. God is talking to Mary through this angel. Look at verse 32. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there should be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary is saying, How can this happen? I'm a virgin. Now, here's God telling Mary that she's going to have the Son of God. But Mary said, How can this happen? I'm a virgin. How can this happen? How can my business grow? I don't really know a lot about business. How can my church grow? I don't know everything I should know about God for my church to grow. How can I get my family back together again? How? See, Mary's saying, I don't know how. You might be saying, I don't know how. Mary did the same thing. She said, God, how can I have the Son of God? I'm a virgin. I've never had sex. And look what the angel said in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. He said Mary was barren and she's old and she was called barren, but I allowed for her to get pregnant. Oh, God's breaking it down to her through the angel. God's speaking to her, trying to build up her faith, Apostle. And that's what God is doing for us tonight, trying to build up our faith so that we will believe and count God's word as faithful. All we need is to believe God's word. Don't be moved by things in the natural. Just accept God's word for what it is. It's God's word. He created the universe with his word. He created you with his word. He can create, and he does create with his word. Look what look what the scripture says right here. And behold, look what it says in verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And look what Mary said. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She's changing her mind now. She believes now, Apostle.
Amen.
Be it unto me. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And we all know that Mary had the Son of God. She birthed the Son of the living God. She said, be it unto me as thy word has said. Oh, glory to God. She was skeptical at first. She was a little bit skeptical at first because she was looking at things in the natural, saying, I'm a virgin. You might be skeptical at first, saying, how could this be? How can I run a big business? How can I run a big church? How can I get my family back together? You might be skeptical at first, but you got to come to the conclusion like Mary did and say, God's word is true. Be it unto me, as you have said, God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Be it unto me. I believe you, God. Be it unto me, as your word has said. We've got to count God's word, consider it as being faithful. And then the power of God will be released in your life to birth things, to start things, to grow things, to heal things. Good things will happen because the power of God will be released in your life when you consider it as being faithful. You've got to believe what God is saying, child of God. Jesus was walking through a village one day, and the Bible says that he wanted to heal everybody in the village, but the Bible goes on to say that he couldn't. He couldn't because of their unbelief. He could only heal a few people when he wanted to heal all of them. But the scripture says, Apostle, he couldn't because of their unbelief. He couldn't. It ain't that he didn't want to. He couldn't. What stopped him from healing everyone else? He couldn't because they didn't believe. Hallelujah. They didn't believe, but the ones that believed were healed. Jesus is in a town one day, and there was this girl named Tabitha. Tabitha had died. She had died, and they called for Jesus. Jesus went into the room where Tabitha was, and he had to put out some people, Apostle. He had to tell some people to get out the room because they were full of unbelief. So Jesus had to put them out the room. Oh, glory to God. They didn't consider Jesus as being what? Faithful. He had to put them out the room. Once he put them out the room, man, I tell you, Tabitha sneezed. She coughed, came back to life after Jesus put all the unbelief out the room. Unbelief will stop you from prospering in life. Unbelief will stop you from succeeding in life. We've got to push out the unbelief. We've got to consider God's word as being faithful. And when we do this, we'll experience the power of God's word. Number one, to experience the power of God's word, we've got to receive it. Number two, to experience the power of God's word, we've got to handle it properly. And my final point, to experience the power of God's word, we've got to consider it as being faithful. God's word is true. And that's what God wanted me to share with you tonight. Glory to God.
Amen. Well, then, praise the living God to all God is. And we got a preacher coming on right now. And I'm sitting there just waiting on him.
I'm right here.
All right, go ahead, old brother.
How are you tonight?
I'm blessed.
Glory to God.
All right, praise God, praise God. Good word. Praise God. You know, you hit on some points there. You know, even the best of us, we struggle at times because something doesn't come our way exactly when we want it. We start to doubt. We start to a lot of other things, and we start to whine and cry a little bit. But we know that whatever God declares from His throne, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. It makes no difference what it is. God says, "You come and ask of me, and I also give it unto you." You know, and then when He declares it, it's a done deal. It is. You're right. It's through unbelief. It's through unbelief. It's through doubt. It's through fear. It's through anxiety and all the other things. All the other tactics that the devil can use against you. To stop you from receiving your blessing. And praise God. A good word. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
I have some people that I've been dealing with, and we're seeing more and more of the darkness that is coming here. There's one man that I know. I don't know him personally, but he declares himself as God the Creator.
Oh my goodness!
He also declares that he is a Illuminati. He also declares that Jesus is Lord and also God the Father. He also believes in all the other Krishna and all the other monkey gods and all the other gods that come after him, Allah. And he believes in all the other gods, all these others that went before, and he's deviled in black magic and witchcraft, and he says it's all related one to another, and this is a demonic spirit that is just welling up, and the man's wealthy, very, very wealthy. And and it's not just him alone. There are many that are coming in that false image. And we need to start to be aware of it. We need to start to sit there and test the spirit. Because even at best, even when they speak, they don't recognize Jesus. They say God. They say everything else but Jesus. And we need to begin to test the spirit. And the Bible says that it says to test the spirits. And you ask them, it says, do you believe Jesus comes in the flesh, has come in the flesh? And their answer should be yes. Anything other than yes, then you need to sit there and begin to question who they are. And you have all rights. You have all rights whatsoever to question them as to who they are. And you have to demand that spirit to speak. And when it starts speaking against you and speaking against the Lord, as David sat there with Goliath, when Goliath started speaking against the Lord thy God, David says, you'll not speak that way against my God. And he flung the stone and killed Goliath. So God will be with you. But you have every right to speak against that spirit. You have every right to question that spirit.
That's right.
Amen. And like I said, I'm seeing it, and I'm witnessing this over here in this one area, and I've been watching it, and I've been very careful and just watching it and watching it and watching it, and I've been watching it manifest, and I've been watching it puff itself up, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I know at some point God's going to take it down, because God cast out Satan, he cast out all his demons, he cast them out of heaven. And you know, God's not going to allow that back into his kingdom. And his kingdom is here as also as on earth as it is in heaven. So at some point, spirit, whatever it is going to have to fall. And you know, and we got to stop and figure, because there is a soul in there.
That soul
needs to be saved. It needs to be. We need to pray for that soul, not for that demonic spirit that's got a hold of him, and all those other demonic spirits that's grabbed a hold of this man, and all those spirits that sit there and it's welling up and building up this man. There's a soul there, and that soul we need to pray for. And there's many, many smaller ones and little less that they all have souls, and they all have that we need to begin to pray for. And we need to begin to pray for these people. And I've sat there and I've seen more and more with bipolar. I've seen more and more with other things that is coming on them. And all it is demonic spirits, you know. And the more you give in to those spirits, the more control, the more power they get.
Yes.
They have no power whatsoever unless you give it to them, unless you surrender. And that means that if you come against one of these spirits and it seems so big that you surrender yourself and you walk away from it, you surrendered. You surrendered that territory. And you surrendered that soul to hell and damnation. If God has put that person in your path and in your life, you need to begin to speak for it. You need to begin to pray. You need to begin to sit there and minister to it and bring the word of God, because eventually that word of God will set that person free. You know, and that's due for the disciples. That's the anyone who's in Christ, who's standing in Christ. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be anything. You can just be a mom or dad. You can be a brother or a sister. Or you can be just someone that God has put in your path to begin to speak to it and begin to speak not to that spirit, but to that soul. See, when we break through that spirit realm, we break through and we cut off that spirit and start speaking directly to that soul. We can set that soul free. God has given us that power. That's the power of deliverance. It's not so much as casting out, say, out in the name of Jesus, out you devil in the name of Jesus, because I sit there and I watch, excuse me, I've watched where somebody had been possessed, and then it was like a feeding frenzy. Everybody on top of them and screaming, yelling, come out, you devil, come out, come out, come out, come out. And the devil was just laughing at them. But when you sit and begin to speak to that person, that soul begins to listen, and that demon has to begin to be silenced, and that soul begins to prosper because it begins to hear and it begins to get stronger and begins to well up, and that spirit will eventually become so strong that it will cast out that demon, because there will be no place for it. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, there's no room for that demonic spirit. It has to go. God is not going to share his territory, and his territory be that person, that whoever he claims as his own, that is his territory. And the Holy Spirit comes in, there's no room for the devil. And we need to understand that. And maybe it's a part of deliverance that we don't understand. We, you know, I sat there one time and I was in one of them deals where everybody was with a feeding frenzy, and I stopped because I got into the same thing, and you're not thinking clearly, you're not thinking straight. All you're thinking about is attack. You're like a bunch of piranhas on a piece of meat. And I stopped and I said, God, what is this? And he says, give it to him. So I put my hands on this kid's ankles. And, I mean, everybody was screaming. The kid was screaming. And it was laughing at all these people that were trying to cast out this demon. And I just gently put my hands on his feet. And I just feel the spirit going through me. And I could feel it entering to this kid's feet. And all of a sudden, everybody had their hands on this kid. All fell to the floor and laid on the floor. And the peace came over the spirit that this kid has. And when he got up, he was changed. That was a work of God into that person. We can come up with our own might and everything else, and we can punch and we can kick and scratch and we can do all these things. But it's the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit that is in us that sets them free. So a lot of times we get into our own selves and try to do the work of God. And God says, come into my rest. Let me do the work. You know, so here's a point where we have to be. We have to stand firm in knowledge and understanding who God is and who you are in Christ and what you can do through Christ and who and what it is that God wants us. We can be anything we want to be, but if God's not in it, we're doing it out of our flesh, and we're not doing it out of the Spirit of God. Mm. We're not doing it to please God. We're doing it to show our own selves approved, and we're showing our own selves, that we're mighty. And truth is, we have no power other than the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we need to begin to sit there and reassess things that we're doing in the Spirit of God. And, you know, God says we can do all things. And we can. You know, we can speak prosperity. We can lay hands on people and heal. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we can to do it in our own power. Like I said, this person I was talking about, you know, he has a doctor in medicine. Also, he knows that he can use, he calls it magic. And magic that he can perform to do the same things. You know, I was just reading, I think it's in Hebrews, where it says that even that will call down the fire and the many will be deceived. You know, that same magic, Savoris say, that many are going to be deceived is because this person is using black magic. He is not. He is using all that of the demonic spirits, all that is in the realm of demonic possessions, and he's using that, and he's bringing other people in because they're seeing this magic, and they're seeing this so-called the work of God. But we've seen it before. We've seen it several different times. But the true spirit of God, as even like I said, that I spoke, I think it was last week, about Meshach, Rashach, and Abednego, when they stood in the fire and God was with them. It was the Holy Spirit that quenched the fire of man in that furnace, and it was the Holy Spirit's fire that came into that furnace that quenched that fire. What they thought was so hot was the Spirit of God, but those men were not touched. That is the difference, because, like I said, these people we're seeing these churches are coming up. We're seeing that they're not really churches. They're the devil, you know, devil worship, and witchcraft, and we're seeing the world turning, and we're watching it. We're watching the world. We're watching the that are turning and seeing us, and they're seeing all this magic, and they're seeing all this wonderful things that's supposed to be going. Yet it's a deception. And we need to sit and focus and realize, because God says even the elect will be confused, and they will also that he has to come quickly, other they all be destroyed. And we're seeing it because we're seeing compromises in the church. We're seeing different things going on, and because and when the church starts to compromise, you're not saying all churches, don't get me wrong. We're seeing it, though. We're seeing the churches that are compromising, and the people who are believing and following this, and because it's a political this, it's a political that.
Yeah.
All it is of the devil. See, the devil still has reign here on earth because Christ hasn't come back to lock him up and put him in hell. So right now, the more that we give in to that spirit, and the more we give in to those things that are demonic, and those things that we say is magic, as you know, black magic or white magic or whatever else it is, we're giving our authority, our power, over to those spirits, because when we start to accept that and believe that as truth, and not listening and not knowing the truth from the God who sits upon the throne, who declares righteousness, who set the plumb line for the way we should live and how we should think and how we should act and how we should live. He set the plumb line. And if we stay firm, we stay steadfast on that plumb line, not waver to the right or to the left, we will be all right. Because even though what we can't see here in the natural, in the supernatural, all those things, Jacob's ladder, the pillar of fire, the second, the New Jerusalem, everything is there. And you know, we have that power that God, Jesus has given it to us when he split the veil, that we can go before the Father, we can go right to the throne in the Spirit and talk to him. And if it is with your open your eyes in the Spirit, you'll be able to see those things in the supernatural. You'll be able to see that, and you'll be able to judge right and wrong. You will know that what God has said is true.
Mm.
But so many times we sit there and we can only see what's going on in the natural. And what's going on in the natural is the only thing what the devil can do. He cannot do anything in the supernatural. So he's using tricks and he's using magic and he's using those who are weak. And what the weakness that he's using is that the power that they're giving unto him, because they're giving what they have to him. You know, when they said the Antichrist, they said that all the power be given unto the Antichrist. What it is the power that God has placed in each and every man, woman, and child that is born here on earth. They have a certain amount, but it isn't until they're awakening in Christ they realize who they are. But in the meantime, you're being seduced and you're being set into this form and this format of a natural world, and looking at it and figuring that you're looking at a supernatural being which is playing tricks on you, and not looking at the supernatural God who sits upon the throne, who knows judgment, he knows where you need to be, he knows and he understands, and he's there in the righteousness, and all we have to do is follow him. Hear his voice. And like you said, Apostle, study to show yourself approved. Know the word. And once you get the understanding of the word, then you can be steadfast. And you cannot be wavered. You cannot be taken off the path. You cannot be swayed left or right. You can stand, and you can stand, as Paul says, when you prayed and you prayed and you stood and you have done nothing else, stand.
Stand.
Just stand there.
Just stand.
God will do what he has promised. He will do for you and what he will do for me and for anyone else who will listen and who will stand in his righteousness and understanding, and they will stand in knowing, whether you see it or not, what he said will be. And you stand in faith. God will answer you. God
yes,
will answer your prayers. He will heal you. He will heal your land. He will heal your home, your finances. He will heal your businesses, but you need to stand fast. You don't lean to that of temptations. You don't take that and watch the temptations, even like I said, how good it may look, how beautiful that woman may be, how handsome that man may be, how good that whatever it is. Hey, you know, looks like this is a better job than this one over here, but God sent you and said, I need to take this lower-paying job, but this one makes more money. But, you know, I'd rather have the more money. But you know what? You'll not be satisfied with the one with the more money, because the one that God has given you will give you the perfect satisfaction, what you need in your life. Because he says, I give to each and every one of you a good measure. Does it mean we all get the same measure? Not necessarily. Some are called prophets. Some are called teachers, evangelists, preachers, healers. Some are called into the ministry where they can handle the finances to be able to support the other ministers. Some are called into being or whatever it is. I don't care if you're a carpenter or you to sit there and build the walls. It doesn't make any difference if God has called you into a certain area of field in your life that you know that God has called you and put you into. Then don't believe that. Stay into that what he's called you, because there you will be content. You'll be satisfied. Yes, you will prosper. But you know what? I'd rather prosper spiritually than I would to prosper any other way, because when I get to heaven, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Instead of sitting there saying, well, Lord, look, here's all the money I got. You know, I'm going to give it to you. You know, and buy your way into heaven. It's not going to happen. It won't happen for you. So what you need to do, and what you need to understand, is all this stuff is coming, and it's getting stronger, and it's getting darker. But what you need to do, you need to test the spirit. You need to stand firm in the word of God. You need to be able to sit there and listen to the word of God. You know, like I said, there's people, as the apostle said, you know, there's people out there that are misquoting the Bible. They're misinterpreting the word of God. They're mishandling the word of God. You know, if you're doing it, if you're in your purest of heart, so you figure you said something to somebody that was supposed to help them and it was wrong, God will use that in that man's favor or that woman's favor, but he'll correct you. But yeah, if you're sitting there and you're deliberately misleading somebody, God is going to deal with you, and he is not going to be very pleasant about it. He is going to come with you with a full wrath that he has from his throne. He will also take care of the one that you misled, because he will bring a correction in their lives. But rest assured, like you said, Apostle, you misusing the God's word, you mishandling God's word, you're going to be held accountable, and you're going to be held responsible for all the souls that you lost, destroyed, or damaged. So, like I said, you know, we're coming into a season where we know that the world is shaking, the wars and everything else, and we know that people are being afraid and are being intimidated, and they're losing faith and everything else. But I'm telling you, Stand your ground, because those who are in Christ, just know, no matter where you're standing, if you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, Christ does not stand anywhere but on holy ground. So look upon your feet and know that you're standing on holy ground. Praise God. Well, that's my word for the night, guys. So I hope you guys all have a good week, and God bless.
God bless you, too. I'm going to put music on. May the Lord bless you and keep you until we see each other face to face. All right.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless you.
Everybody, just take a little bit. I'm gonna be here. Thank you. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Thank you. Healing for your pain.